Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden, and Draven. The gang's all here for the next 3 hours. We'll talk sports and other things on this Wednesday hump day, as they call it. How are we today? Thumbs up from Hayden. Love to see it. He's over there ferociously typing on his phone. Cam, you good?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks, the weather's getting a little chillier again.
I think it's just a one-day aberration, I think.
I hope so.
When I check the weather app, I think this one's just kind of an outlier. I think we'll be back up to good, nice spring weather here soon.
Those outliers suck, though, because you walk outside not thinking, I ain't going to check the weather. It's been warm the past 2 weeks. Yeah. Why would it change? And then that wind hits you. I was like,
it almost got me slipping today.
That 45 degrees will slap you in the face if you're not expecting it. But yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be like up to 61, which I guess it's still be slightly on the chilly side, but 61's fine. Then, yeah, 66.
Okay. We got 80s next week, though.
Yeah, a couple early days of the week in the 80s. So, yeah, we're just a little cold front
gotta
coming
just through. Power through. Gotta just power through.
Draven, how are you?
I'm not good, John.
You're not good?
I'm not good. You know, you guys know I hate to complain, right? You guys know that by now. I'm not the one to complain at all.
If there's one thing about you, you're very happy and things don't upset you
right,
at all.
Right, exactly. But, like, why do roommates suck, man? Roommates suck. It doesn't matter. Do what?
Does he listen to the show?
I hope so. That's where I'm at that point at this point. Roommates suck. They do. Cam, you mentioned you're like, never be roommates with your best friends. It doesn't matter. You could be roommates with a stranger and it's still terrible. You could be roommates with just somebody that's even just somewhat low maintenance and it's still going to have some sort of issue.
Roommates are terrible. I'd rather be roommates with a good friend.
Yes, right.
With a stranger, yes. I still agree there.
But then again, being roommates with your friend is terrible too. You're almost...
Yeah, I'm assuming it's created some tension between your friendship.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, but I would rather have tension with my friendship, especially if it's a long-term friend that like... You guys can overcome it versus a stranger that, like, you don't know if he's going to stab you in your sleep if you get too hostile towards him.
That's a good point.
Him.
Then again, you're going to go about it a lot different, though, with a stranger. You're going to kind of walk around eggshells a little bit with your friend. You're like, hey, bro, like, no, why is that happening? And then all of a sudden, that's when, you know,
and maybe turns into a little bit yelling match. You as well.
Exactly.
So what happened? Do we need to talk about it, or are you just roommate drama?
Roommate... Puppy, just you know, one of those stories. Yeah, they're exactly. Oh, yeah, no. That's it. Just one of those, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you're going through that.
It's all right. Are they being dirty? A little bit. A little messy.
I haven't had very many roommate issues.
Messy wise, or just in general?
I had one that was a little messy, but like he, more so his thing was like, it was whenever I was in college and like. We had the apartment in my name, so I was in charge of like putting the rents together. And he would just always be like the 15th or 16th before. Like he was a little bit older, so like, he wasn't in school or anything. So he was like just working and paying for it, and you know, have a bit sales month or something, blah blah blah, and just 15, 16 days, and have to track him down. And that was always annoying.
Threatened to hurt him.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, he was sort of a friend. But, like, I mean, it was a friend that I just kind of recently met. But I was like, can you just give me the money? Like, I don't have to.
That's the worst. Asking for money.
I had a friend for like 2 months at one point. I was like, I can't like threaten to kick him out or whatever. Like, yeah. The apartment's not going to do anything because I'm, you know, the rent's getting paid. So that was annoying. And then, yeah, I lived with two of my best friends like in college, and I made the mistake of being the clean one, which I'm not even that clean, but like I would be.
I'm
one,
not either.
I would be the one that always took it upon myself to take the trash out. I would just make sure the trash is always out.
Yeah.
But I had a girlfriend, so I'd be staying at her place sometimes. So then sometimes I'd come home and the trash wouldn't be out. If I hadn't been there for 3 or 4 days, like they got to the point where like they would just, you know, stack the trash can full, and then eventually they would start setting their fast food bags next to the trash.
Oh yeah. That's always the next step, ain't it?
And then
like it's gonna magically somehow get in the trash can, right?
And then eventually it got a little out of control, you know, like 5, 6, 7 trash bags sitting next to it, rather than just, you know, emptying the trash can themselves and putting it in there. So one day I came home and I was just fed up by it, and I just took the trash and just emptied it out and spread it all the way from the trash can back to their rooms. Just made a little trail down the hallway of all their trash and bags and just left them there, right into their room.
Talk about petty.
I just, you know, it felt like that was the right thing to do. One of my friends opened the door, stepped in his Chick-fil-A bag, and he got the picture, came out, cleaned it up, said, my bad, and that didn't happen again.
Wow. I think I'd be a little mad.
You'd be mad if somebody put the trash at your door?
Just like, I mean, did you say it a couple times before? Was there a couple forewarnings?
I can't really remember if I had or not, but it was like I hadn't been there for 3 or 4 days, you know? Like, I don't know if I was on a trip or just shacking up, doing whatever, having a little sex or whatever, but like, came home and it was just a mess. I was like, this is ridiculous. My friends are smart. Like, they're put together. They're not like some, you know, just lowlifes out here scrambling. These guys are supposed to be able to take care of themselves.
People are messy, man.
I did that and the dishes all the time.
Ugh, dishes are the worst.
I was like, how the hell am I the clean one here? So, yeah. But they got the picture after that, and the trash was fine.
Okay.
Trash was taken care of. And, you know, we didn't have any, like, falling out. We lived together in our next place and still friends, and everything's fine.
So you just got to get the message across, is what you're saying.
Like, yeah. Like, I assume, like you said, there's a dog involved. I assume the dog is just using the bathroom all over the place. I don't really know how you could do that other than just like try to push the poop right in front of his door. I don't really know how you could do that.
Yeah.
Get like a empty box of like his favorite snack or something, put the poop in there and set it outside his door. He's going to open it up thinking he's got snacks. Nope, not snacks.
That seems brutal.
That seems like taking it a step too far. Then you have to pick the poop up and put it in there.
That's the thing, man. Do I really want to be messing with
So we'll see. We'll keep you updated. Keep us up to date on what happens.
People tweet out some ideas to, you know, get my message across. I need some plans here.
Just simply say, bro, I'm going to choke you out.
That's what it's coming down to. That's what it's coming down to at this point.
I'm going
to
choke you out if you don't fix this. Please, make no mistake. That's what's going to happen to you. Make no mistake. All right, so what's the story of the day as we come in here on April 21st? ESPN was really covering the trial yesterday.
Yeah.
I was all over there. Mm-hmm. Which I guess it has some sports ties, but they were all over there. That was
made the Raiders the story of the day.
Oh, man.
Mark Davis. If you know anything about Mark Davis, you know he's a little goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mark Davis is in the position he is at. Simply because of, you know, nepotism and because of, you know, being born on third base and all those things. Like, his dad is the reason he is the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Like, Mark Davis did nothing in his life to earn that. I say that just to kind of point out, like, Mark Davis, if you read the stories about him, like, he is a very odd man. He drives, like, 200 miles each way to get his hair cut, and if you've ever seen his hair... That's even funnier.
You're lying. He does not do that.
Google it.
What?
Google it. I'm always amazed.
For this haircut?
Google it. Oh, I'm always amazed at the stories that I think of as just like being for like common knowledge. And you being like, whoa, there's no way it's true.
He does.
I think it's 180 miles is the exact mileage. 180 miles each way to get his haircut.
This one says 500 miles.
I think they might be exaggerating a little bit. I think it's 180 miles each way, so it comes out to like, you know, okay. 360.
Does he drive back with the window down, or
I don't know? And they also like said like he drives like a van, like he drives like just like a regular like van.
Yeah, that fits him a little bit more.
And like in the article they were writing about him in the profile, is also talking about like he was like hanging out like at the PF Chang's, like that's where he likes eating. Is just like, they're like, nothing, no disrespect to PF Chang's, but like, you know, you're an NFL owner, you got a lot of money, you would maybe like upgrade a little bit. But I don't know, he just likes to chill at PF Chang's. He's a very simple man, he's a very sheltered man, he's kind of odd. And he took the blame for what many are calling the absolute worst tweet in Twitter history, at least from, you know, a reputable source.
It was pretty pretty tone deaf.
4/20/21, just black and white. The Raiders colors, just in bold. I can breathe.
Is it still up?
Yeah. No, he says he's not deleting it. He came out saying, and he basically was like, hey, I just want you guys to know this wasn't the social media team. This was me, and I'm not deleting it. And I'm sorry if it's offensive. No. If it was a social media team, they would have already deleted it.
You think so?
If it wasn't from Mark Davis, they would have deleted it. And then I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, the Preds social media manager, she resigned and then put out a big statement basically like, In relation to this, sort of, that was basically like, I feel bad for the people at the Raiders team because I know that they didn't want to say this, and now like the social media manager is the one that's going to have to deal with the constant death threats and getting met with like delete this and kill yourself, things like that, because she had said like, you know, she runs the Predators account, and basically she said she had tweeted out the you know, something about justice with hashtag Black Lives Matter, and then said her boss has called her and like, hey, you got to delete this because we don't want it to just look like we're siding with black people. We want it to be all people, justice for everyone. So then she's like, well, I can't do that. It's going to look bad. She's like, just delete it. Take the hashtag out. So then she did it. Then everyone was, you know, killing the Preds because of that, and then, you know, killing her, saying that she's like, well, people know I run the account, so they think I don't feel this way, and they think I'm taking it down. Basically, just like the social media tear was just too much on my mental health, so I'm out because people on the internet are mean. And I like kind of felt bad for the Raiders social media manager because all the replies are just like, oh, woof, worst tweet ever.
But the thing is, like,
intern going to get fired. And she's like, we're not interns, we're employed. Like, I hate when people call us interns. Like, just because we're running a social media account doesn't mean we're interns. Like, it's a pretty big deal.
Our lives kind of depend on this, our job.
And it's a pretty big deal, like, when you are the face of, like, a franchise or a company, like, online. You can't just give that to some college-aged intern. Like, usually it's a job you have to work to get. And I think it's a common misconception.
But don't you think they still, like, saw the tweet and could have been like, Mark, man. Like,
I don't think you can argue with the owner. Like,
in this situation, I'd be like, Mark, man, this ain't going to be good. Like, you know, this is not going to go well.
Again, just the only, you know, I've never ran a big account like this. You know, here at the station, I mean, sometimes we'll put stuff up and there's 8 different people with the login. You're just kind of like, I probably wouldn't have done that, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to, like, read the replies if I don't want to. It doesn't matter to me. Just, hey, my name's Bennett and I ain't in it. It ain't my fault. But, like, the girl who retired from the Preds, she said, like, there had been plenty of times where she had told her bosses, like, hey, this is not going to go over well. Mm-hmm. This is not going to go well. And basically, they were like, do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she said, and then I would get blamed when it went over poorly. And I was like, I tried to tell you. But, like, you know, if the actual owner of the team, Mark Davis, is telling you to do this, I don't think you can really argue. You can be like, hey, it's a bad idea, but okay, I'm going to do it anyways. And, of course, the I can breathe has a history with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Mark Davis realized that, which is one of the reasons.
He came out and said he didn't. He had no idea with
it. And I believe him. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe him when he says he doesn't. And, like, he says he was trying to honor the family of George Floyd yesterday because I believe his brother had said, it feels like we can breathe again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But the I can breathe battle, you know, that comes back from a police killing in New York City. How long ago was that at this point? 2012? I mean, when was that? Eric Garner, whenever. I believe he was 2014. He was the illegal chokehold, right, in New York City? I believe he was the bigger man that was selling cigarettes. And had a cop put him in an illegal chokehold and kill him, and he says, "I can't breathe." Mm-hmm. And that kind of led the charge for, you know, basketball players to then speak out publicly. I mean, I guess Trayvon Martin had happened before then, and you had the Miami Heat doing their stuff with for Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. But once this Eric Garner thing happened, and I Can't Breathe, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but the NBA players, you know, all wore I Can't Breathe shirts like in the warm-up lines, which then led to a history of, like, the New York Police Department wearing shirts that says I Can Breathe.
Yeah.
As they're, like, doing their, like, protests and doing their press conferences. So the I Can Breathe was a kind of a way of mocking a dying man's last gasp. And that's where the history comes from. And I do believe that Mark Davis probably didn't know that. And you can say it's because he's sheltered. You can say it's because he's disconnected from the real world. I, whichever way you want to say it, I won't argue. But he tried to say, look, I was trying to mirror the words of George Floyd's brother. But again, those words were, I feel like we can breathe again, which... not necessarily the same thing, and again, he didn't understand the connotation, but it is now, you know, it's with good reason getting absolutely, you know, drug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people, you know, feel a certain type of way about that whenever it's put. And, you know, I had a discussion about, with a listener about it last night, because, I mean, they thought it was, you know, me taking sides for saying, why haven't you deleted this yet? Like, how is this still up? And trying to be like, well, you're trying to honor. And I was like, well, not exactly. And we had a discussion about it. He's like, okay, my bad. So I don't know, like, how, and, like, you know, he said he didn't understand the history behind it either. And so I would say that many people probably don't.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys did. Cam, I probably assume you did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, oh, boy.
Draven Hayden, you guys are a little bit younger, so I don't know how much you guys remember from 2014 and, like, that case surrounding Eric Garner and the basketball and the cops. But
I do remember, like, that happened. I do remember, like, LeBron wearing the shirt. I just remember seeing that video of him in the layup lines.
Okay.
They're all wearing the black shirt that says, I Can't Breathe. So
yeah, the Raiders really, really stepped in it. And I guess credit to them for standing by it, although, like...
I kind of respect that. He was just kind of like, you know what? At this point, like,
no,
it's already out there. There's going to be screenshots.
Like, yeah, but if you deleted it, it would be over.
Yeah.
If you deleted it, it would just be over. Like, it would last another couple hours, and you would just admit your mistake, and it's like, we admit our mistake, we're deleting it, it was insensitive. Leaving it up is, again, just making your organization look bad, and it's making some social media manager's life hell. Although I would assume they have taken advantage of one of the best social media inventions, one of the best features, mute conversation.
Yeah.
Mute this tweet. Like, just... I get no more notifications about this awful tweet I sent. Mm-hmm. Argue with yourself, people in my comments. Although this will follow the Raiders for a while. It'll get retweeted constantly. But congratulations to the Florida State Seminoles. They are now off the hook because I do believe they had the worst sports tweet up until that point. With the MLK Day Photoshop. Mm. With him doing the tomahawk chop that says, do something. That was the most tone deaf sports tweet up until Mark Davis stepped in it.
I never noticed he was doing the chop, and I just noticed he was wearing like a football glove.
Well, he's like the hand was coming out.
I didn't see that till now. I guess that does make sense. But I did see him where they put a Nike glove on his hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get that branding in there.
Yeah. Yeah, they Photoshop an arm doing a chop with a Florida State Seminole, glove on.
Lord.
And even put the little caption underneath it, if I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way. We're honoring MLK. Do something. That was the leader in the clubhouse, but congrats to them. They are off the hook, or at least they have some company. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Getting closer and closer to the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Getting closer and closer.
Yes. What's it, 8 days away?
That is correct. We got any updated mock drafts? Any juicy ones?
Pete Prisco Got an interesting one for you, John.
Prisco is a moron. There are a few people I respect his opinions less than Pete Prisco. I don't feel like that guy's right about anything.
Eh, I kind of like him.
You kind of like him?
Yeah, he's not bad.
I think he's a moron.
One interesting take that a moron does have is Davis Mills, quarterback from Stanford. You remember him? Talked about him a little bit.
I mean, I guess. I wouldn't say I remember him, but yeah, I'm familiar with the name.
I want to say, didn't he play just 1 year, right? Didn't we come to that realization? He only played just 1 year, and that was it. He has the Bears, Chicago Bears, taking him at pick 20, another quarterback, surprisingly going in the first round.
Davis Mills.
He's been getting a lot of, like, third round hype, some, you know, sneaking into the second, stuff like that. As some people think he's the sixth best QB. I mean, you know, you got the four that everybody talks about, then like Mac Jones, and then pretty much it's between like him, Trask, and Mond for that next guy. And it just kind of depends on who you ask of, who's the next quarterback right there. I think people just like his upside. Like, you know, I definitely don't think he's going to go first round because he's very Trubisky-esque in the fact that, you know, limited experience and stuff. You may have to give him some time to adjust, but I don't think the Bears could, like, afford to make a move like that.
Prisco did say in his little comment, he said, this might seem crazy, but this group traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. So,
fair enough,
they would do.
I guess that's the ultimate defense of your pick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, don't worry. I know this might sound crazy, but keep in mind, guys, we're talking about the Bears. We're talking about the Bears, okay? They're not very smart. They mess up a lot.
Yeah, that's very true. You gotta factor that in a little bit.
That seems like a good cop-out. Hey, sorry, I thought the Bears were going to do something crazy. I hate Pete Prisco, man. He does get under my skin. All about the Jaguars are going to win a Super Bowl in a couple of years with Trevor Lawrence. I'm over the Trevor Lawrence Jaguar stuff. About how he's going to turn them into a playoff team next year.
That would be something.
That's a popular pick about how he's going to carry the Jags to a playoff. All right, let's go through this. Who do you last 20 years, I guess this would be. Last 20 years, quarterbacks that were the first ones taken. So the first quarterback taken of the last 20 drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last 20 top pick quarterbacks. So I guess it'd be that you have to be a number one pick. I guess is what it is. You have to be the number one pick. So, you know, Trevor Lawrence could be a number one pick.
Because
this goes all the way back, to the 90s. So it'd be over 20 years. So the last number one picks that are quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. How many of them do you think have winning records in their first year? Of 20.
Andrew Luck did.
Maybe two.
I know Andrew Luck did. He went 11-5, made the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to go two.
When is this from?
Also, keep in mind that Andrew Luck was taking over for a pretty good Colts team that had their quarterback taken out. You are correct. Andrew Luck did go 11-5.
So this is from like 1990, is that what you said?
I said it's the last 20. The oldest quarterback I see on the list is Troy Aikman. So, like, I mean, that was like, what, 9, that was in maybe even 91, 80s? Okay. I mean, late 80s. I want to
say he came out in 89.
Yeah, I was going to say basically 1990 is what I was going to call it. Anybody else besides Andrew Luck?
Maybe not. I'm going to say maybe there's one or two more, but I can't think of any names off the top of my head.
Number one.
The next best was Mike Vick.
Okay. Mm.
He went 1-1.
Nice. He was drafted 20 years ago today, actually.
Oh, wow.
He went 1-1. He is the only one that was even 500.
Nice. So did he get hurt his rookie year?
He didn't start.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
Troy Aikman, 0-11. George, that'd be Jeff George. Who was Jeff George? He's older. He was older than Troy Aikman, wasn't he? Who was George? I don't know. 5-7. Drew Bledsoe, 5-7. Peyton, 3-13. Tim Couch, 2-12. Vic, 1-1. David Carr, 4-12. Carson Palmer 6-7. He's the next best, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Eli went 1-6. Alex Smith went 2-5. Jamarcus Russell went 0-1. He only got one start. That's pitiful.
Wait, really?
I guess so.
Wow.
This is not good.
Matt Stafford went 2-8. Yeah. Sam Bradford went 7-9. I guess he might actually be. He at least played a whole season, and he's one of the top five, I guess.
Yep.
Cam Newton 6-10. Andrew Luck 11-5. The only one with a winning record. But again, keep in mind that Colts team was built to win, and just happened to have a their franchise quarterback miss the whole year before. Jameis Winston 6-10. Jared Goff 0-7. Baker Mayfield 6-7. Kyler Murray 5-10-1. Joe Burrow 2-7-1. A combined record of 74-155-2. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence is going to carry this Jaguars team to the playoffs.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be as good as Andrew Luck. You just said Andrew Luck, the last quarterback to do so.
That Andrew Luck took over a team that was really good the whole decade before they weren't, whenever their quarterback had a neck injury.
Okay. You also got to factor in an extra playoff spot in the AFC. You also got to factor in Urban Meyer, one of the great football minds.
Of all these teams, maybe you could say Sam Bradford at 7-9 would have been in the playoff contention. You know, maybe that was the year the NFC West was so terrible it might have been, actually, where 7-9 might have won, maybe got him in the playoffs. I don't know. I know one of those years when the Seahawks and Rams were playing, it was – I don't think that would have been it, but maybe. Maybe. I think I've been more like 2011?
Yeah.
12? It's not like any of those would have been the 7 seed either, Draven. No one was close to 500. Again, except Bradford, who was 7-9.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs. He did win Offensive Rookie of the Year, though.
So, sure, a first-year coach and a rookie quarterback on a team that has lost a lot of games the last 3 years. Yeah, they're going to go to the playoffs. You're right. Yeah, good call.
Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be a lot better than pretty much every quarterback you named except Andrew Luck. That's what everybody's saying.
Is he? Like, if we haven't really talked about Trevor Lawrence in forever just as a prospect because, like, we know he's going number one. But I feel like Trevor Lawrence, have we not seen some of his flaws? Like, do we still think he's as good as Andrew Luck? Do we still hold him there, like the Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning level?
I don't, but a lot of the scouts have him as one of those higher-ranked quarterbacks. Like,
what flaws are we talking about here? Am I missing something specific we're focused on?
Well, I mean, like him coming up short in a couple of their big games, him not being accurate against LSU, him not being accurate against Ohio State, shoulder issue, the comments about how he's not driven by success in the NFL. Mm-hmm. If Justin Fields said that, they'd take him out of the first round. Trevor Lawrence says it, and everyone's like, it's a little bit of a story, but never mind. No discussion about moving him down the draft board. But, I mean, like, would that not be a red flag for almost any other quarterback?
Yeah.
Saying, I'm not really driven by success in the NFL. Which
if
I think
Tyler would have said that, he wouldn't have went number one.
I think, Baker would have said that, he wasn't going to go number one.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
I mean, because Baker, like, his competitiveness is what, like, kind of gave him the extra edge. But, like, I just feel like with other quarterbacks, that would have been a big deal. And maybe you can say that's just because Trevor Lawrence just still looks the part and has been the man everywhere he's been. But I'm saying, like, I feel like we just kind of – I feel like we're going to say, like, if Trevor Lawrence isn't as great, that, we should have saw the flags. We should have saw him. Why was he rated so high? It's all because of his freshman year.
Well, he's just been anointed to be the number one pick since – like, he was the number one guy coming out of high school.
That's what I'm saying. Then he came in and won a national championship his freshman year, right?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. They killed Alabama. It was like 40-16, wasn't it?
And then since then, it's been a lock. And, he hasn't – I don't think you can really make the case he's gotten much better from his freshman year. Now, some of the throws he makes in games, like the highlights, are ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to act like I don't think Trevor Lawrence is the best out of this, but I'm saying I'm wondering if we're still holding him, like, in the Luck Manning quarterback prospect. Are we still putting him up there? I still think he's the best quarterback in this draft, but I'm asking if we still think he's generational like Andrew Luck.
I think a lot of the media still does, and obviously I think like some of the scouts do. Because every time you see anything from Kuiper or McShay, they're always like, oh yeah, he's one of my highest graded quarterbacks ever. Stuff like that. So I think they do, because he just kind of has all the tools. It's just, it's one of those things that can he actually put it together out there? And that's the difference between the greats and the guys that, end up average. Because, you know, you could say the same thing about, they said the same stuff about, like, Sam Darnold coming out. Like, oh, he has all the tools. He didn't put it all together. It didn't work out. It's weird. It's hard. Quarterback's the hardest thing to basically scout and translate to the NFL, too. So you really never know.
I don't think you have to be, like, super competitive, by the way, to be a successful quarterback. You bring that up. I don't know if Andrew Luck was, like, the most competitive guy ever. He was getting sacked by all defensive linemen, and he's like, good hit, big man. He's complimenting everybody. What? You've seen those clips.
He was a nice guy.
He was a soft guy.
You'd be nice to be competitive.
When he got to the pros, like, yeah, he was nice. Like, oh, good hit and stuff like that. But before the draft, like, one of the clips they showed about Andrew Luck nonstop was him throwing an interception and laying out the guy who intercepted it.
One of my favorite highlights ever.
Oh, yeah.
Him coming up and, like, absolutely sticking the guy who intercepted it. Like, no, I don't think you can question his – you know, neither his toughness nor his competitive drive. And look, I don't know if it's fair to, you know, really question Trevor Lawrence's either. I'm simply saying if any other quarterback, if Justin Fields said that, if, you know, Zach Wilson said that, Josh Rosen, you know, he felt his hand, which, you know, granted, maybe they're right about Josh Rosen. They're like, oh, I don't know if he likes football.
Yeah.
Because, like, the story about him was, like, he's got too many other interests. He likes social justice. He has other things he cares about.
Yeah.
Whereas Trevor Lawrence was like, you know, I'm happy with life. Everything's good. Like, I don't get my self-worth from this. But then he comes out and tries to clarify. I was like, look, no, I work hard. I compete. I'm always ready. I'm just saying there's more to life than football, which is, you know, the proper approach to have, I think, with any of your jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the guys are going to be maniacs and just, you know.
Dedicate themselves to the game and breathe, eat every second.
But... Now, you could argue that, like, whether or not Trevor Lawrence believes this, every now and then you have to lie, like in your interviews, right? On your job interviews, you can't be 100% truthful. Every now and then you got to lie and just, like, tell people what they want to hear. If I'm a Jaguars fan, I want to hear, like, all I care about is winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want our athletes to say, right? Like, that they're hell-bent on winning at all costs. And Trevor Lawrence is like, nah, if it happens, it's great, but I'm cool. Now, I will say Trevor Lawrence, again, has been the man everywhere he's been, you know.
Yeah, I mean, from high school to college, like, I think he won a title in high school as well. Like,
where'd he go? Was it Cartersville? Are they usually, like, really good? Or would he have started as a freshman, or would he have been, like...
I think he started as a freshman.
Okay, so he's been starting, you know, basically his whole life, been the best, and, you know, was best in high school, best in college. You know, chances are he's not going to be the best in the NFL. In year one, like, I don't think anyone's thinking that, right? Like, I mean, even the biggest Trevor Lawrence supporters are like, it's going to be a process for him. He might not ever be the best quarterback in the league. Like, that is a very realistic possibility for every quarterback that's entering the league, you know, 3 years ago up until the next 5 years. Like, as long as Patrick Mahomes is still there, like, you might not be the best.
Yep.
How can he handle that? Like, you know, how can he handle losing? Because I would imagine Cartersville didn't lose very many high school games with him throwing the ball. We know Clemson didn't lose very many games. Jacksonville's going to lose more games this year than he did probably his entire college career and probably since he was a junior in high school, at least.
Honestly, yeah.
I mean, he lost four games in college at most?
Yeah.
I'd say he probably lost three in high school. Like, they're going to lose at least seven games.
I have the stat here. Since his freshman year of high school, Trevor Lawrence has only lost 5 games as a starting quarterback. He was 53-3 in high school, 34-2 as a starter at Clemson.
Okay, because I guess one of the games they lost to Syracuse, he got knocked or didn't play, right? Is that right?
Notre Dame game,
he didn't play either. He was out of
the Syracuse game, he did get knocked out and sidelined, didn't he?
So I guess they're dead. Hey, I mean, he started though,
right? Yeah, he started, I think.
Either way, was that written like before the draft? Like, is that up to date?
This was 5 days ago when it was written.
Okay.
Well, I won't question him then. So 53-5. Yeah, he's gonna lose more games.
Yeah.
Probably in the first 2.5 months of his NFL career. I would say he loses more than 5 games in the first 10 games. Like, if they go better than 5-5, I would be shocked. So what happens whenever he gets there and people are as good as him and, like, he is just another guy type of thing? Like, he's going to be, you know, the jewel of this class from the quarterback situation. But, like, when he gets to the NFL, like, he's just going to be another guy.
I mean, he had some. It's not like he was like just the only guy in college football. I mean, he didn't win the Heisman last year. He had competition. He had Burrow. He had these other guys. Hurts coming in. Kyler Murray had his time.
But he broke on as a freshman. He's been the number one pick ever since then. I'm really just looking at this class. And, like, I mean, I think even while. I mean, sure, maybe Burrow passed him at times, but, like, I still feel like we thought he was the best quarterback of the last 3 years. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, even when Burrow was doing that, like, I still think we were like, oh, if we put Trevor Lawrence that offense, it'd go the same thing. Now, maybe not. Maybe Burrow was better than him. I don't know. It wasn't much better, at least. But, yeah, you're right. He never won the Heisman, which there is a curse of being the front runner. Very rarely does a front runner hold on and win.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But again, like I said, dismiss me with the Jaguar stuff of them being good next year. And I don't even think it's a hot take. But again, there's a long list of history. Now, like Draven says, you can't look and say, well, yeah, Andrew Luck did it. But again, I think there's a caveat there, a huge caveat that they had been really, really good the whole decade before and just went all in and tanked whenever their quarterback had to get his neck fused back together.
Do we think he is it hard to see how much he's progressed just with him playing the ACC?
Yeah, it is.
That's what I think.
It is because I don't know. I mean,
only two games a year matter. Well, I guess with Notre Dame, three. But
yeah, they don't play Notre Dame. Yeah, they only played Notre Dame this 1 year, obviously. But yeah, like I mean, some of the throws he makes, we're probably not watching them because they're up big. Like I'm not watching Clemson games unless it's close in the second half, or you know, playing Notre Dame or playing in the playoffs and. You know, then you get there and you have one bad game and it kind of, or one average game and it can undo all your progress. I get that. And I'm not even saying, like I said, please note, like I think if I was drafting a quarterback, number one, I'm still taking Trevor Lawrence, but I was just curious if we still like have been like evaluating him at all. Because I haven't anybody, like no one's really talked about his strengths or his weaknesses. It's just kind of like, we don't need to discuss him because he's going number one. And when Zach Wilson kind of locked up number two, he kind of quit talking about him as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
No one's really dissecting Zach Wilson anymore either. Like, they'll still show us the same four highlights whenever they talk about him, but otherwise it's just like, hey, who's going number three? Fields, Jones, Lance, Pitts? Who's going number three? According to the ESPN guys, they went with, they're doing like an alternate mock draft. They went with Justin Fields at three.
Yeah, I still think he's going to go three. I agree there.
Kuiper says he loves Justin Fields, so he was putting Justin Fields there. Although most of the CBS guys still have Mac Jones at three.
I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you sell that much stock to go up to get Mac Jones.
We will have our answer in 8 days.
I'm excited.
Likewise. Stick with us. Just talk sports on Fan Run Radio. You got your updated mock draft, Cam?
I do have my first round.
All right, we'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Getting ready to talk some more NFL draft. 8 days away. Nice little bridge, I guess, from March Madness and the championships to get us a little bit closer to football season here. We got our orange and white game event as well. Spring football helps a little bit. We'll be over at the Old City Sports Bar for a orange and white pregame kickoff, courtesy of our friends at Kraft Axe Throwing. We thank them for helping us make that happen on our end. Go to craftaxethrowing.com to book your event. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off. We appreciate them for their support and coming back on. And, yeah, the event's over on Saturday from 12 to 3:30, Old City Sports Bar. Clay Travis, the Outkick crew, some Fan Run Radio personalities will be there. Free beer during the first quarter of the spring game or until the keg bursts. So might not make it all the way to the first quarter. Might make it to the third quarter. Who knows? I don't know what to expect in this crowd on Saturday. Are you guys going to the orange and white game? Cam, I know you'll probably be working.
Yeah, I am not.
Undecided, John.
Undecided?
Yeah. I thought about going. Go show some support for my boy Heupel,
Oh, he's your boy.
I mean, he's got to be our boy.
Yeah, we got no choice.
Yeah, I guess we're stuck with him.
God, orange and white games are so boring, man. They're so boring.
Hayden, you still going?
Probably like 65%.
What do you mean? You're already like, you've been talking about it for 2 weeks. Now you're out. Now it's getting closer.
So here's what happened. The people I live with, they're going to New Orleans for their like fraternity formal or whatever. And then some of my friends from home were going to come up to go to the game and all this stuff. So I texted one of them last night, and he was like, actually, I have like a lot of exams and homework this weekend, so I'm not going to be able to come up. So now it's like, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, never mind.
Sound like I'm going to be going by myself. You weren't even paying attention to what I said.
I wasn't. Sorry I asked. I heard something about homework, and I'm just like, okay.
Okay.
So, do you have any friends going? You guys have like a lot of people, like anybody in your life going? Because I don't really know anybody. I know a couple people coming up. Some listeners have asked about the event. Like, they're coming up from out of town, out of state.
If you would have listened to what I said, you would have heard my answer to that, John. So I'm not going to say it again.
You didn't have to say that either. I was kind of just talking out loud. I was more so talking to Draven.
No, I don't have anybody that I know excited or even going at this point. So, yeah. Are you going, John?
No, I won't be there. No.
Oh, yeah, you got big plans this weekend, huh?
Nah, I think I moved it back to next weekend as far as going to Atlanta.
Oh, really? So you just don't want to show any support? Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, I just would rather do anything else on my okay, Saturday than go do that. Like, no disrespect to the boys.
I mean,
I'm sure I'll find a TV to watch, you know, Tennessee play Texas A&M. I mean, it's a big baseball series. Every series is a big baseball series when you are, you know, top 10 in the country. By the way, nice walk-off win last night in extra innings in the ninth inning, according to Bob. Man, Bob. The Vols walking off in extra innings again, and as they, you know, get a game-winning single in the bottom of the ninth. And I wonder at what point did he realize, oh, wait. Did he, like, go out of his way to, like, try to, like, let us know he messed up? Because sometimes I'll do that. Like, this live mic, man, sometimes it'll get you. Sometimes you get caught in your head. Sometimes you say the wrong thing. I usually try to acknowledge it. But sometimes you just try to say something to, like, that super, you know, that will overshadow or at least, like, let the audience know you know what you're talking about a little bit. Like,
yep.
He says extras and then immediately says bottom of the ninth. Like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I messed that up earlier. It's not extras. It's the bottom of the ninth if you're listening on the radio. I'm sorry. Without acknowledging the mistake. Which can, by the way, we'll get to your mock draft probably next segment or next hour sometime. Because I realize I'm not giving you much time for it. I don't want to rush you. Just remind me in the hour or two. There was rumors that like when Danny got here, like one of the first things on his list was like, hey, we got to upgrade our play-by-play man.
Danny wasn't having it.
Which, credit where it's due, I know he works for the competition, but Wilkerson's the man. Wilkerson's good.
Yeah.
John Wilkerson's great at baseball. Bob should never be doing baseball games. Wilkerson's awesome. Like, he has a very high approval rating. Like, just listen. The way he called that grand slam, that's one of the best calls we've had in Tennessee, like, recent history, right? Like, of big plays. Like, when it actually sounds like someone's getting excited. Not to Paul and Bob, but I still think of the, what a turn of events after the Hail Mary. It was so bad that, like, whenever UT was putting their highlight packages out, they were using, like, the TV broadcast. Usually, like, they like to use, like, the hometown guys, like, kind of like, have some excitement. But Bob's was so bad, they're just like, we'll use the CBS version. We'll let Gary and Vern bring it home.
Has he always been doing baseball?
No, he only does a couple of games. Like, he does like one game a week or something like that. Like, just random games, I think. I'm not gonna act like I'm an expert. People have said that. That's what I've gathered from.
I think he does the games when they're on the SEC Network Plus, and after basketball season. So, but like early in the season, it's Wilkerson on the SEC Network Plus, which most games are on the SEC Network Plus at that point because there's like non-conference games like out at like small schools.
Sure.
But yeah, when it's on SC Network Plus, usually the host team calls the games, or has their play by play do it.
Right.
So,
and I don't want to pick on him. I'm just it's unfortunate sometimes when you say something. And then, like I said, I think he caught himself and was just like, ah, in the bottom of the ninth. He was just trying to go with extra walk-off win or another walk-off win. You know, the Vols walk it off again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, what is this breaking news?
Uh-oh.
From 26 minutes ago. Thanks for you guys for getting this news. So one of our biggest recruits of the 2021 class.
Are you serious right now?
Did you say this or something? When did you say this? Did I miss it?
He did say it.
I said it two damn times in the break. During the break.
I go different places. I'm planning
stuff.
You
want to talk about the damn mock draft? So I was like, okay, we don't have to talk about Katron.
So you didn't say it on the air. So the audience still hasn't heard it. So you're just doing this for your personal gain, not for the audience's gain.
No, to talk about it. Like, we could have brought it up the next segment, but we were doing the mock draft, Draven, so maybe we're doing headlines. Draven, we haven't seen it yet.
Draven, you've been doing this show long enough. Whenever there's breaking news, what do?
Go to the horn.
We go to the horn.
I didn't see it to the horn,
Who's
John.
In charge of the horn?
Usually Hayden.
So if Hayden was wanting to indicate that we had breaking news, rather than tell me during the commercial break when I admittedly zone out because I'm either catching up, talking to people, or I am trying to like find news like topics and stuff. I'm kind of in my own world. I'll admit that during the commercial break, those are 3 minutes I'm zoning out. I'm looking for things. I'm either reading a story that I want to talk about later. I'm trying to find something. I'm sending work emails. I'm trying to line up some sponsors. Doing all these things. I'm working 100 miles an hour. So Draven, just for the record, when we have breaking news, we have a way to indicate that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person in charge of it is Hayden.
Hayden.
Who is crying that I didn't hear him during the commercial break. Whenever he knows that I don't listen to him during commercial breaks. I believe he even said as much as, you're not even listening to me.
He did. That is right.
So, Tennessee lost, what? Where does this guy rank, Hayden? Katron Evans, 4-star defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Tennessee has officially released him from his letter of intent. I assume he never showed up to campus, right? Like, I assume he wouldn't have been here or practicing.
I honestly have no clue. I know he's from St. Francis, whatever, Academy in Baltimore.
Yep.
That's also where Aaron Willis was from originally. I think Aaron Willis transferred his senior year to actually play football because I don't think St. Francis was playing last year. But Willis transferred to Virginia to play, but they were high school teammates.
Man, that hurts. Signed with Tennessee in December. I imagine that means he showed up here on campus, right? I mean, or no. I guess that would mean he was an early enrollee just because he signed in December.
Yeah, we had 8 early enrollees.
Yeah,
I don't
think he was one. So he would not have been practicing. Okay. Well, a 4-star defensive tackle.
Recruiting's been good, John.
That might as well be a damn 8-star defensive tackle when you look at like who we've been recruiting lately, like in our defensive line depth. Like that seems like a huge, huge loss.
Yeah.
You know, add that obviously with, you know, we've already come to grips with this a while ago, but add that with Dylan Brooks, I mean, who was borderline 5-star on the defensive line. Like, you've lost a lot of talent that you didn't need to lose.
Shouldn't be shocked, though, should we? Are you really that surprised by this?
Well, I'm surprised by it simply because I assumed everyone who had signed this class had already, like, I thought, like, you know, Cody Brown got out, Dylan Brooks got out, we let the Gooch man go.
I was about to say, being offensive lineman.
So I'm a little surprised by the timing, yeah, Draven. I figured if they were getting out of their letter of intent, they already would have been out.
Hmm.
It's kind of the way I looked at it.
Yeah.
Which I guess I haven't even considered that some of these guys haven't even still shown up. I don't know why I took for granted that, like, these guys were already all on campus. I guess I just hadn't thought about, like, hey, no, they're still high school seniors.
Yeah.
And still, most of these guys show up, like, you know what, session one, like, or, you know, show up in May sometime.
Still, there had to be something to kind of push him over the edge, right, to officially part ways.
You know, I don't know. He was a guy that was very eager and, you know, was a top 200 player and signed, like I said, the very first day of December that he was allowed to. And I guess that means he's excited about, you know, Pruitt, obviously. I wouldn't say anything pushed him over the edge, more so than just maybe he got to know Josh Heupel and didn't like him. I guess there's the chance he could just be like, hey, I'm going to go JUCO for a year. Like, maybe we'll see. Like, maybe there's some qualification things here. I don't know. I'm just looking for possible explanations, or he's just like, nope, I'm going to go somewhere else and play.
We saw that fast-paced offense was like, nah, I'm not going to be on the field 90% of the time. I'm not doing that. Not as a D-tackle.
Seems like a big loss. Seems like a big loss. Why does Hayden get so mad if I don't listen to him during the break?
He gets offended,
don't
he?
Why wouldn't he have just horned us? Like I said, the commercial time is my time. I'm on my lunch break. Do you mind? I don't want to talk during the commercial break. I'll leave that to you guys. You guys
okay.
Are always just...
Silence the commercial break.
No, you guys always yuck
no,
it up.
No, silence the commercial breaks from now on.
I love your phrase. I don't want to talk about sports during the commercial break. That's me time. We can bond. Talk about off-the-field stuff. We can do that.
No.
Well, you don't have to. Draven, Cameron, and myself will. Yay. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports.